Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays at this time, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Harrisburg and Albany with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Geer of the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Let's start with you, Jason. Picking a president. Why are New York and Pennsylvania, I guess to use a sports analogy, so far down in the batting order? You know, we're 7th, 8th, and 9th, and we want to be 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in that batting order on the presidential primary calendar. What is it going to take, do you think, to change that? Do you think that will ever change?
Well, I think in the case of the Empire State, here in New York, it's a little more challenging because, rarely have Republican candidates won New York State. And so there's little pressure across the nation to raise the emphasis of New York in the presidential primary politics. And frankly, from a conservative position, it probably helps us getting a more conservative candidate. If New York were earlier in the process, these New York values that we've heard so much about in recent days may actually come back to bite. We'd end up with a less conservative candidate than we might get in presidential politics.
What are your thoughts? New York is 33rd on the calendar. I think Pennsylvania is even worse, 34th, when it comes to the order of appearance. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, since the days of our nation's founding, since those days, Pennsylvania has not been a leader. It was a leader at that point, but pretty much falls behind the pack in a lot of issues. And so it's not surprised that we're, in the 30s in terms of advancing ideas, whether it's the presidential primaries or other things. It would be a big challenge for it to happen, partly because when states try to leapfrog and try to move up in the process, the earlier states then push it further ahead as well. So it's been such a long tradition that I don't see it changing in a significant way.
Well, let's stay on the presidential politics theme, Mike. Both your former and current U.S. senators are endorsing Marco Rubio. Your thoughts?
Well, especially with Rick Santorum, with the endorsement that came with him dropping out of the race this week. That's kind of who I thought Senator Santorum might decide to endorse. They have similar views on a whole range of issues. Both are very eloquent at defending the sanctity of human life and very passionate about that issue. And that is of such importance to Senator Santorum that I think Rubio was the natural choice for him, as well as, he said, representing a new generation. And when Rick Santorum came to the Senate, he was the youngest senator in the United States Senate, Rubio holding a similar position as he came into the United States Senate. With Toomey, I think Senator Toomey has worked with Senator Rubio and with Senator Cruz for that matter, and that, again, is not a surprise, although he had previously suggested that he was not going to endorse. So that is the one sort of minor surprise in all of it. But as these primaries go by, politicians continually get asked, and so ultimately I think Toomey decided to cast his lot with Rubio.
All right, let's talk about Jason's favorite topic, public corruption in Albany. I don't know if you've seen the billboards yet, Jason. You can now call a number, FBI or somebody, if you see public corruption. Please call this number. They have billboards on the thruway now. And there's a Siena College poll out this week that made a lot of news. 86 or 87% of the public think it's a huge issue. What is your take on maybe a disconnect between where the politicians are here and where the voters are when it comes to reforms?
Yeah, we're seeing these billboards now. If you see something, say something. I mean, we're seeing not only in the terrorism billboards, but now even as we're watching our state capitals.
Yeah.
There is still a disconnect with the voters, though. They say they are concerned with public corruption, but then if you look at the numbers, other things seem to matter to them more as far as what they vote on, such as the level of education funding in their district. And it's a game that elected officials play. They can do what they will in Albany as long as they increase funding back home. And so while those numbers are changing and public corruption is becoming a growing concern, it still is not taking the lead over some of the pocketbook issues that voters are talking about. Mm-hmm. And so we are, as voters, still talking on both sides of our mouth.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the paid family leave law in New York, Jason. We'll stay in Albany for just another moment. If enacted, this would be the most expensive paid family leave law anywhere in the country. I think something like 60 cents out of your paycheck, taxpayer, would go into this fund to pay for it. You are a pro-family organization. What do you think of a paid family leave law?
Well, we've taken no official position on the issue yet. We're watching to see what legislation develops. And there are two sides of it. In principle, we love the idea of moms and dads being able to spend time with their newborn children or caring for aging parents or other ill family members. We think that's important. But the reality is somebody has to pay for this stuff. And if you're an employer and are in a small business and you have employees who are going to take 3 months off or 6 months off, you know, and you're expected to hold the position for them, so at some point, that employer has to be able to hire somebody to do the job. And it's just a very, very difficult thing to see how this can actually practically work in our state.
Yeah, that along with the minimum wage going to be a big topic as those budget negotiations get underway. Mike, big speech time for Governor Wolf. I don't know if he wants to give the speech next week, but Tuesday he's going to be taking the wraps off a new spending plan. And of course, you know, Pennsylvania now, how many months? 7 or 8 months without work being completed on the past budget. How does Harrisburg even begin to kind of reconcile this fiscal mess here?
Well, the word reconciliation in Harrisburg, or at least what's going on in the Capitol, doesn't seem very close by. But the fact is that the governor's already calling for additional tax increases and more spending above the record spending already that the legislature granted in this last unfinished budget for education. He's asking for another $250 million more, but not talking about how to pay for it yet. And so, you know, this week I heard the Speaker of the House, Mike Torzai, who has been, you know, fervently challenging the governor's efforts to increase taxes on Pennsylvanians, say, look, we need to finish last year's budget before we move on. The governor's already talking about moving on and seems to be taking his cues from the way things have been done in Washington over throughout the Obama administration, which is just a new paradigm for governing that really doesn't bode well for the people of Pennsylvania.
Mm. Real quickly, we are hearing word even today that by the time we speak again, they may have already launched impeachment proceedings in the House. Majority Leader David Reid saying a vote on the matter to get the ball rolling could happen Monday or Tuesday. Impeachment proceedings against Attorney General Kathleen Kane. How, in a minute or so, Mike, would that play out in the House?
Well, I think there's a lot of sentiment for a removal of Kathleen Kane from office. There's the political implications of it, though. In some respects, and this is a little bit crass in terms of the way politics is done, some think that conservatives and Republicans may be better off with her staying in office just because she continues to provide headlines, negative headlines, that will serve the Republican candidates for Attorney General going forward. So, if indeed the move starts for impeachment, ultimately I think we may end up in that situation with her out of office.
All right, and we'll end with Jason. Legislative Day 2016 is fast approaching. The theme appropriately titled this election year, Decide. Tell us what people need to know who wish to attend that event this year.
Well, you know, America and New York State really is at a turning point. It's a critical election time, and we believe that when evangelical Christians across New York State come to the Capitol at Tuesday, March 15th, to participate in this Legislative Day event, that they are actually going to be learning the information they need to be an informed voter and an active voter in public policy issues. So we're encouraging Christians to come to the state capitol on Tuesday, March 15th. They can find all the information for Legislative Day at our website, newyorkfamilies.org.
All right, and we'll give Mike the last word. If folks have more questions on all the policy issues in the news there, what's your website, sir?
It's pafamily.org.
And more information, as Jason mentioned, Legislative Day 2016. You can register online, reserve your spot. That website again?
newyorkfamilies.org.